Nearly 25% of Idahoans live with a mental illness. State funding of programs to support people with mental illnesses has become a smaller share of the total public health budget. KBSX reporter Emily Ritter-Saunders and Idaho Statesman reporter Audrey Dutton have partnered to find out what the state is doing to turn some of those statistics around. Emily and Audrey, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So how do most Idahoans access mental health care?
Many Idahoans are getting mental health care through their insurance company or by paying for it themselves. These are typically services like therapy or counseling, but there's also a segment of the population that's accessing services through Medicaid, the program for low-income Idahoans that's largely paid for by the federal government.
But then there are also folks who aren't in one of those categories, who either aren't getting care at all or who are getting crisis care in emergency rooms or end up in jail. And the state's behavioral health program also serves people who are committed to the state and people who are ordered care through the court system.
So it sounds like the system is really fragmented.
It is, and there's a large patchwork of services, be it state-run or private-run. Maybe they're operated through nonprofits or community groups. State Representative Fred Wood, who also happens to be a physician, he summed it up really well.
We are so hodgepodge and so fragmented. I don't even think you could refer to our current state of affairs in Idaho with respect to mental health and substance use disorder as having any kind of a system.
Representative Wood has said the state needs to work toward a centralized system set up on a regional basis that includes basic mental health care the same way that preventive medical care is addressed for something like heart disease or diabetes. Wood and other officials with the state say they're on the path to creating a more effective mental health care system with its most recent switch from a fee-for-service to a managed care system within Medicaid.
You've both reported before on a company called Optum Idaho. That's what that group's contracted to do, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and the switch to managed care is no small thing. The private providers who get paid for services to their clients through Medicaid are now working with Optum. And as we reported this summer, that new system has been fraught with payment errors and long wait times. It's also meant people who have relied on certain services under the old way of doing things may not be approved for those same services today. We'll introduce you to a woman named Ginger Kreider, whose 9-year-old daughter has had her services cut.
I think losing this in the long run could cost them more money. If we don't take care of the kids now, then it's going to cost a lot more money to rehabilitate them as adults.
And Audrey, what do we know about how hospitals fit into mental health care?
Well, Idaho has seen a large surge in crisis hospitalizations. Court-ordered and temporary emergency care for people who are very sick has skyrocketed. There's no single reason why, but we know a huge share of people without health insurance are in psychological distress or have a serious mental illness. And it can be hard to even find a mental health care provider in much of Idaho.
We've heard the state say they're trying to take steps to transform mental health care in Idaho. What kinds of things are they trying so far?
Well, the most tangible thing right now is the opening of a new crisis center in Idaho Falls, and the funding for that was approved last year during the legislative session, and it's expected to open next month. The idea there is it'll give someone in crisis a place to go other than an emergency room or a jail cell. It's really meant to connect those folks with services they need to hopefully stay out of crisis.
The state had wanted to open 3 of these centers this year, but only got money for 1. So they're hoping the legislature will reconsider funding for more of these centers once data start coming in out of Idaho Falls. The state's also spending a small amount of money, just $45,000 this year, to create behavioral health boards across the state. And these are meant to serve as a conduit between clinical care and community-based resources, like helping folks find housing or get vocational training. Here's how Ross Edmonds with the Division of Behavioral Health explains it.
How likely is a person that's homeless, doesn't have any access to transportation, and they could have an appointment with the best psychiatrist in the state, but if they don't have a way to get there, if they don't have a way to safely maintain their medication, if you don't have those things met, I don't know that having a good psychiatrist is going to help you all that much. That's the reason we're standing up these regional behavioral health boards.
You guys have put a lot of work into this series. I can't wait to hear the rest of the work that you've done. What can listeners expect to hear over the course of this week?
Well, we'll introduce you to people who have gone through mental crisis, drug abuse, jail, hospitalization. Some of them are just starting their journeys to recovery, and others have been successfully treated for a while.
And also we'll show you how social workers have partnered with law enforcement to provide crisis care to people dealing with emergencies, and explain how Idaho's contract with Optum is really affecting people who depend on their Medicaid services.
Emily Ritter Saunders and Audrey Dutton, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tune in tomorrow to hear the first of the four pieces in this series. That's starting at this same time tomorrow morning on KBSX.